I had planned to share another sermon, but God sometimes changes human plans. I'd like to talk to you from God's Word about freedom tonight. And there may be some who came in need of freedom. And so I'd like to ask that as you turn and pray with a brother, sister, someone sitting near you, that you would pray a radical prayer that Jesus would set people free tonight, and that Jesus would be lifted up. So would you just turn to someone sitting next to you, and we'll go into a season of prayer. Pray a blessing of the Spirit upon the one with whom you pray, and pray that Jesus would set people free tonight. Would you do that? And then I'll lead us after the prayer time in a chorus, and we'll open God's Word together. Holy Father, thank you that you hear the prayers of your people. And we pray this evening that Jesus would be present by the Holy Spirit with us and in us. We pray that the promise of Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 would be fulfilled. That after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And Lord, this is your work, and to you be all of the honor and glory now and forevermore. Amen. I've been impressed with two great truths during the past 9 years as a teacher at Southern College. The first great truth is this: Satan is a bondage maker. Oh, he doesn't tell you that when he comes knocking at your door. He promises you the good life. You know, you've come a long way, baby. He doesn't tell you where it will end. Why would you expect him to do that? After all, he's a liar and the father of lies. Jesus said, the one who sins is a slave to sin. But Satan says no. When you sin, you'll be free, liberated. But many of us have found out the hard way that Satan is a bondage maker. But I have some good news for you tonight. Another great truth that I have learned in the past 9 years as a teacher at Southern College. Jesus is a bondage breaker. And I want to share with you three stories tonight. You've heard a lot of sermons, but I want to share three stories about young people that came into bondage, but Jesus set them free. And then I want to share with you two traps that Satan will lay for those who found freedom to try to bring you back. But I tell you this, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. In fact, that's the sermon. It's in John chapter 8 and verse 36. Would you say it with me? If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. That's the sermon right there. But you see, Manuel didn't understand that. And I've changed his name just to protect some people in the story. But Manuel grew up in a Christian family on the East Coast. And the enemy said to him, you can be free. He tempted him with the sin of greed, money and power. He didn't tell him the cost he would have to pay. And before long, Manuel was very wealthy. He had quite a sophisticated organization. And one night, as he went to bed in his very luxurious house, end table, drawer filled with cash, and a revolver on the side of the table, it looked to most people like Manuel had it made. But late that night, he woke up. There was a presence in the room. He saw evil eyes looking at him from the corner of the room. He told me, as he sat in my office and shared his story with me, that his first impression was to pick up the revolver and shoot. And then he realized you can't shoot things like that. His second impression was to shoot himself. But I'm thankful for a promise in God's Word. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. And somehow, this rebellious young man who had come into bondage thought about that promise. He picked up the phone, punched in some numbers, and woke up his dad. He said, Dad, pray for me. Dad got out of bed, slipped to his knees. He didn't know what was going on, but he began to pray for his son. Emmanuel began to pray too. And something remarkable happened. I told you this morning, God is a miracle working God. As he prayed, he sensed another presence in the room. He dared not even look, but he sensed the presence of light and holiness and peace and joy right there in his room. And then an argument ensued for his soul. And Satan said, he belongs to me. And the Lord answered with one short statement. Parents, listen. When Manuel was a little boy, he almost died. And his mother lifted him up to God like Hannah did with Samuel. And she said, God, if he lives, he belongs to you. And the Lord spoke that night and he said, he was dedicated to me and he's mine. Well, Satan didn't take that lightly. He said, but I've given him everything he has. Look at everything he has and everything he's done. He belongs to me. The Lord doesn't argue with the devil. He doesn't have to. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. The Lord said, he was dedicated to me, and he is mine. Manuel kept praying. Finally, the devil left. Manuel found peace and went to sleep. Got up the next morning. Made a decision. Went to his office. I should tell you that he had been working with some fairly important deals, and a man came from a South American country that day, you get the picture, and said to him, they're willing to do business with you. And Manuel looked at that man and said, you're too late. The man looked surprised. He knew that people would kill for the opportunity that Manuel had that day. What do you mean, you're too late? And Manuel looked at him and said, I gave my heart to Jesus last night. One of the saddest things happened. That man looked at Manuel and said, with tears in his eyes, I used to know him once and walked away. Manuel sorted some things out, ended up at Southern College, graduated as pastor of the senior class, and today is a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Satan may be a bondage maker, but Jesus is a bondage breaker. Amen? Say it with me. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. But some of us don't fall for greed. Some of us are tempted with the lusts of the flesh. And Satan laid a trap for John. And one evening I got a phone call. It was from a pastor in Florida. And the pastor said, "Something's the matter with John. Do you want to talk to him?" John was staying with the pastor. I said, "Sure, I'd be happy to talk to him." This young man had been a student at Southern College the year before. The pastor said, "I think that there's something going on there, a strange staring in his eyes." And then he stopped and he said, "It's happening again, right now, while we're on the phone." He said, "Do you want to talk to him?" I said, "Sure." And here came the phone, and I said, "John?" And the most evil voice I've ever heard said, "What?" I shivered, slipped to my knees, and began to pray. I didn't know what was happening. Then he passed the phone back to the pastor, and he was pacing around the room, and a voice coming out of his mouth saying, "I'm not leaving. It's none of his business." I didn't know what was going on. Pastor and I began to pray, finally calling on the name of Jesus, asking for our brother. Someone had been brought into bondage. Finally, John came back into the room again. Pastor said, "You want to talk to him?" I didn't know what to say. You know, sometimes you say, "No, I don't think I do." But perfect love casts out all fear. He handed John the phone, and a subdued voice on the other end said, "Where shall I go?" Well, I thought it was John. I thought he was asking, should I go to Tampa or come back to Southern College? Or I was, not expecting what was happening there. And so I said, "What do you mean, where shall I go?" And the voice again replied, "Where shall I go?" And then the pastor, who was a little more alert than me, said, "I don't think that's John talking to you." And so I began to think, well, where should I tell it to go? Where would you tell it to go? I know. Well, I got some idea. I read the scripture, and I know Jesus sent them to the pit. So I said, "Go to the pit." No response. Listen, we have no authority. Who do we think we are? All of a sudden it hit me. And I said, "You will go to the place that Jesus Christ consigned you to go." And instantly it left him and he fell like a dead person to the floor. And the pastor said, "He just fell over." I said, "Is he all right?" He said, "I don't know." And he bent down, he said, "He's breathing." And then something remarkable happened. Some boldness came over us. And together we prayed like a chorus, "Brother John, in the name of Jesus Christ, arise." And he stood up. Well, after we realized that he had been set free, I wanted to ask him how he'd come into bondage. You know, you ever wonder about that? I mean, it's different from Manuel. This was something actually taking control. And you know what he said to me? "I'd been wrestling with this sexual sin. Do you think he needed to commit that sexual sin in order to come into bondage? What do you think? Some would say yes. You know what he told me? He said, I just came to the place where I said, I'm not going to fight it anymore. Well, I want to tell you, if you go with the flow, you're heading to hell. He didn't even have to go out and do anything. Just saying, I'll just go with the flow and chill out. And he came into bondage. But I told you earlier, though Satan is the bondage maker, Jesus is the bondage breaker. Amen? What did Jesus say in John 8 and verse 36? Will you say it with me? If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. But sometimes we come into bondage as a result of the evil of others. And that's what happened to Janet. She was a social work major at Southern College. And I could tell when she came to my office that something was wrong. It was like she was holding herself together. And I noticed as she sat down that she had razor marks on her head. And burn marks on her arms. Now, one of the things we need to realize is that there are some things that are out of our field. And so I referred this young lady to a Christian counselor. And some time would go by and she'd be back again, bruises. And then she was out of school for a while. I heard she was in a eating disorder unit at a hospital back home. And then she was back again and in and out of my office. And I would refer her to a Christian counselor. Godly people, efficient, effective counselors. But as soon as they would get close to her pain, it would so terrify her that she would stop going. I remember the year of her graduation. She received an award as the outstanding 4-year social work student at Southern College. But as she walked to receive it, I said, oh God, can you set her free? She went through graduation. By the way, she got married the year before her graduation, and her marriage was chaotic. It was in a shambles already. It was a couple of weeks after graduation. To be specific, it was May 13, 1992. And we were having a prayer service in the religion department at Southern College, planning for some meetings that summer. And as we gathered for the prayer service, and the service had already begun, I noticed that Janet slipped into the back of the meeting and sat down in the very back holding her pain. And when we gathered in a circle to begin to pray, she stayed back there, but we invited her to come forward and join the circle of prayer. And as we prayed, and the Holy Spirit is so incredible, the Spirit of God impressed two of the people in that group totally spontaneously to give their testimony in prayer of how God had healed them. And later Janet told me that as she heard their prayer, and that's the power of your testimony. Some of you have shared your testimonies with me. That's the power of your testimony. She said, as I heard that testimony, it was like a ray of light shining into the darkness. And I said, oh God, could you heal me? But none of us knew her thoughts, and the prayer service ended and the people left, and I was turning out the lights and locking up the building and going downstairs past the mailboxes there in the lower level of the religion building. And as I turned the corner, there was Janet. And I was startled. She had fresh bruises on her legs where she had been ramming a shopping cart into her legs as she was walking around the store. And she said, "I can't live with this anger anymore." And the thought came to my mind, because our God is a miracle-working God. I said, "Janet, have you ever thought about being anointed?" And a radical thought came to my mind. It was so radical, it had to be the thought of God. The thought came to my mind from the Lord Himself, I believe, by the Spirit of God, "I am going to heal her tonight." Now that sounds wonderful, because theoretically we believe that God can do how much? But you know, it's not that easy when you're face to face with something like that. It isn't that easy. I felt like that father who said, "Oh Lord, what? I believe, but help me to believe more. I have a little faith, but next to this, my faith looks too small." And we fell to our knees and began to pray. I want to tell you, prayer is a marvelous thing. Prayer is not only the reaching out of the heart to God, but in prayer, God speaks also to us. And in that prayer, the Lord spoke to her. And he recounted the story of Jairus' daughter. You remember that little girl that died? And all of a sudden it hit me. All of a sudden I realized that this little girl, who at 5 years old had been damaged by the enemy, that Jesus was going to raise her from the dead. And as that story was recounted, I remembered the words of Jesus. You know them. "Talitha cum, little girl, I say to you," what? "Arise." And that night, May 13, 1992, God spoke those words to Janet as she knelt on the floor, on the cold tile in the lower level of the religion building. And she reached up her hand toward heaven. "Little girl, Janet, I say to you, arise." And it was as if a waterfall broke inside of her. And she began to laugh. And emotion, it was like a bubbling out of her. And the first words that came out of her mouth, "I can breathe." Have you ever felt that crushed by so much pain? By so much darkness? "I can breathe." And then she said, "I can smile." And she rose to her feet. And I looked in her eyes. And I knew that Jesus had set her free. I didn't know all of what He'd set her free from that night. But I said to her, "Janet, go home and tell your husband what God has done for you." And she got in her car and went home, and I got in my car. And immediately as I was beginning to drive home, Satan tempted me to doubt. Say, "Well, maybe nothing really happened." We're so used to living on an ordinary level We forget. The Lord Himself said, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too difficult for me? She got home to her husband. She recounted the story the next day. She opened the door. Her husband saw her. His first words were, what has happened to you? The next morning, early, I called. Praying as I called. And when she answered the phone, I knew, even in her voice, that she had been healed. I said, Janet, please come over to my house and give your testimony to my wife. And she came over later that morning. And as she was walking up the steps to our house, and we have a glass window in our door, and my wife looked through the door, and before the door even opened, she said, praise God, Janet's been healed. She told us that morning she had been peeling potatoes with a knife. And she looked at the knife that many times she would use to stab herself and cut her arm because the pain on the inside was so intense. She looked at the knife and she said, praise God, I'm free. I said, Janet, I want you to give your testimony at the prayer service on Wednesday night. And she said, I'd like to do that. And she came, and in front of the people, she gave her testimony. She said, I had been bulimic for 9 years. I was healed instantly last Wednesday night. She said, I have scars all over my body, but I have no scars on the inside anymore. Hallelujah! Used to be ashamed to wear short sleeves. Her body looked like a war zone. But she said, I have no scars on the inside anymore. A year later, she came to our Sabbath school class and gave her testimony. And there were people that were saying, well, you know, it won't last. People don't recover from that kind of self-mutilation. I want to tell you, people can recover from anything by the power of God. And I know God heals people differently. I remember a young physician who came forward who had been damaged by the enemy, and she came forward in answer to the prayer of faith, and God healed her to be able to go to a counselor and deal with the eating disorders and the problems. And God chooses the way. That's His decision, not ours. But I tell you this, our God is a miracle-working God. Jesus does not want anyone to stay in bondage. He is the bondage breaker. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. She gave her testimony at our Sabbath school class. It was so beautiful. Her husband was with her. Do you know that during that next year, God healed their marriage? Not everything happens instantly. She bought these dollhouses and built them for a year. She was catching up. She was alive again. Girls understand that? Little 5-year-old dies. You got to catch up with the dollhouses, right? And her husband lovingly and patiently bought the dollhouses. But she gave her testimony that day. There were over 100 people in our Sabbath school class. And most of them were weeping for joy. Because as Janet gave her testimony, her husband kind of sat on a chair by her. And while she gave her testimony, she was fondling his head. I talked to Nancy Van Pelt, shared the story with her. She said, do you know what fondling the head means? That's the sign of trust. She'd been set free. She gave her testimony and she wrote me a letter and she said, Derek, please continue to share my testimony. Because there are many who have been wounded by the enemy. And Jesus wants to set them free. I had the privilege of dedicating their little girl. Beautiful little girl. She said, I'd always been afraid that I would allow this little girl to be sexually abused and damaged by the enemy. But now I know it won't happen. She's been set free. And they named this little girl Amanda Grace. I said they should have named her Amazing Grace. She's a miracle. A miracle indeed. What a precious family. I could share many more stories with you. But those are the two realities. It's called the great controversy, you know. Satan, bondage maker. Jesus, bondage breaker. He can do it. What did Jesus say in John 8 and verse 36? Say it with me. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. But you know, once you've found freedom, Satan doesn't give up that easily. He lays two traps. He lays two traps to try to bring you back into bondage. And if any of you have been through these experiences, I want you to write these two traps down and the answer to them from Scripture, because it's important that you understand how to remain free. The first trap that Satan lays is the sin of remembrance. Did you hear that? The sin of remembrance. He tries to take away our freedom and say, well, I know you're feeling good now, but just remember what it was like back then. If it was struggling with lust, just think about that lust. If it was struggling with fear, just think about that fear. If it was struggling with greed, just think. Just remember. If Satan lays for you the trap, the sin of remembrance, I have a word from the Lord for you. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brothers, sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do. What does the Word of God say? Forgetting that which is behind and straining toward that which is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. When Satan comes to you and he says, okay, so Jesus set you free, but just remember, you tell him to go where he's going to end up. And you say, I am going to do what about that which was behind? I am going to forget that which was behind. And what am I going to do? I'm going to press on towards the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. He'll do it, guaranteed. He'll call you to look back, but don't look back. Look forward with your eyes on Jesus. Amen? Well, there's a second trap. If that one doesn't work, if he can't get you to just live in the past, by the way, if you go looking at the past, guess where you'll end up? You'll end up back in the past. If that doesn't work, he'll lay another trap. It's called the sin of scheming. This is a tricky one. Sometimes this works when the other one doesn't work. The sin of scheming. It works something like this. Well, you don't have to do it. Just think about it. I mean, what if you asked the girl at the office to just eat lunch with you? What would it be like? Just kind of think about it. What if you offered to... What would happen? The sin of scheming. It's like the young man I mentioned in the class or in the meeting this morning. A student of mine struggling with a sin. I knew there was a bad part of town. He said, I just kind of went over there to see what was going on. Fool! What was happening in his mind? What was the trap that Satan was laying for him? It was the sin of what? Scheming. Well, I'll just kind of go over there and see what happens. No. Not if you want freedom. What should you do? Philippians chapter 4, you know the text. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. What does it say? You know, don't you? First of all, he says, look back. You say, I'm not going to look back. He says, well, just think about it. You know, think. That's the trouble, by the way, with all of these videos and movies. Excuse me for standing on some feet. I've seen women weeping because their parent, their husbands are messing up their heads. You cannot watch evil without it coming out. It's the sin of scheming. It will come out in your life, guaranteed. Satan says, well, you don't have to do it. Just watch it. Someone told me when I was little, if you're not sure, just ask, what would Jesus do? Did anybody ever tell you that one? You think Jesus would watch some of this trash? I don't know if he'd watch any of it. I don't know. Maybe there's some. A discerning spirit, certainly. We shouldn't just destroy everything in our culture. Sometimes, though, I walk into homes and I see things on and hear language, and I imagine angels must cover their faces, even in our homes. I don't know. Maybe we need to get back and just get a little more simple and ask, what would Jesus do? Because, you see, it's not just a game. Not just a play. This is the great controversy. You got a happy marriage? Satan doesn't want that. You got a good relationship with your children? Satan doesn't want that. And so he'll lay something before you. I think the media is the place he does it. The music. And the videos. And the games even. Some of these games, you know, finish him off. Where in the world does that come from? It doesn't come from heaven. Does it? Well, you don't have to actually hurt people. You can just think about it on the video game. I think that's why people are driving so crazy. You notice how they drive? That's because they put another quarter in and get three more cars. But it's more serious than that. By the way, Satan can even use that. And men and women lie dead on the side of the road. You don't have to think about it. Just, you know, you don't have to do it. Just think about it. Virtual reality, it's going to happen. I tell you, we get closer to the end. You'll be able to commit every crime in the world inside your head. And you think it won't affect you? Satan says, just think about it. Sin of scheming. I'll get you later. But the Lord says no. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Hear the word of the Lord. Finally, my brothers, my sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Let your mind focus on these things. If God has given you freedom tonight, don't let Satan take it away. Sin of remembrance, sin of scheming, no. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. So what about you tonight? Some of you come here feeling in bondage. Maybe it's something that you brought upon yourself. And you're bound. Maybe it's something that someone else imposed upon you. But you're still bound. Jesus doesn't want any of his children to be bound. Satan is the bondage maker, not Jesus. Right? Jesus is what? The bondage breaker. And the Lord brought some of you here tonight to find freedom. I get nervous at this point. I do. I say, God, is it really got to be that radical? Yes. Because if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. We've got some aisles here. They represent freedom. Now, I realize that not everybody here is bound. How many of you here can thank God that Jesus has set you free? Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Just remember that you need to watch out for the sin of remembrance and the sin of scheming. Let the one who thinks he stands, what? Take heed. Don't be careless. But praise God that there's a whole gathering of people here who have found out that Jesus can set them free and have experienced it. But do you think everyone here is experiencing freedom tonight? You think so? I don't think so. If they are, praise God. We'll stand up, sing a benediction, and go home. But maybe there's someone here tonight that feels bound. You may not even know why. It may be so far back or so dark. You don't even know why. But you know tonight that Jesus wants to set you free. I want to appeal to you tonight. I shared this sermon at Southern College, March 22 of this year. And there was a young lady sitting in the congregation. Her name is Eve. It's a beautiful name. But Eve was so filled with pain. And when she came to the service that night, and we prayed that the Holy Spirit would work, she said, "Yes, God, I'm open to that." And when she began to listen to the sermon, well, the story about Manuel and John, but when we talked about Janet, something clicked. She said, "It's like me." Oh, she didn't demonstrate the pain on the outside. What Eve would do is when she'd feel the pain, she'd let a wall come up. This kind of freeze her. So she would feel nothing. And as she listened to the story about Janet, she felt the wall beginning to rise. And at that moment, she had a decision to make. Bondage or freedom. And I thank God that Eve made the right decision that night. She said, "God, I'm not going to allow the wall to come up." But when she made that decision, the pain became so intense that she doubled over in her seat. There are people sitting next to you that have more pain than you can imagine. You know, the problem is we just look at the outside, you know? And people look okay. But there's hurting people right here. She doubled over. The pain was so intense. But I thank God she had some Christian sisters sitting alongside of her. And at the end, there was an invitation. And they turned to her and said, "Eve, do you want to go?" She said, "Yes." And she went forward. And there were other people, and no one really noticed. But God noticed. I think angels were literally jumping up and down. How do you think they feel when evil men and women beat up on God's people? How do you think they feel? And they've got perfect hearts. They love. Yes! She's walking forward, but as she came to the front, she crumpled up on the floor in her pain. And the other people were standing around and no one really noticed. And there was a prayer. And people went back to their seats, and there she was. And several Christian brothers and sisters went over to pray for her. You know, it doesn't matter who does the praying. Don't get into that thing. It doesn't matter who it is. It's the prayer of a righteous man or woman who comes in Jesus' name that avails much. And these Christian brothers and sisters, they knelt down and in simple faith, they prayed that Jesus would set this young lady free. And then the prayer was over. And she left. And I didn't know what happened until she came back to my office Monday morning. She said, "Dr. Morris, I just need to share something with you." And I could see a radiance in her eyes and a lightness in her face and a freedom in her body. She said, "I just need to tell you that when they knelt down and they prayed that prayer, everything happened at the instant that it was prayed. When they prayed for peace, I felt the peace of God coming into my body and all through my body. When they prayed for the burden to be lifted, it was lifted off of my soul and I was set free." She said, "I got back to my room and I opened the Bible and the promises of God all of a sudden were alive. And I said, that's for me. That's for me. Hallelujah. That's for me." Oh, friends. What happened back then, in the time when Jesus walked on the earth, it can still happen today. It can. Jesus is risen from the dead, isn't He? Ministering in heaven. And where people find freedom, His name is honored. His name is glorified. I want to ask you to just stand quietly now with me, if you would, as we close. We're going to pray. And then we're going to just sing a song. And if as we sing this song, you sense God calling you to a freedom, I want you to come forward. Don't hold back. Can Jesus set you free? You know the chorus, "Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole." Do you know that one? Maybe we can find it in the hymnal while we're praying. And then we're going to sing that together. I'm going to pray to God that as we sing that song, if there's someone here that needs freedom tonight, that the Spirit of God would give you freedom to come forward, to make a decision. And for those of you who said amen and rejoice in the freedom of Jesus, will you pray? And listen, if no one comes forward, that's all right too. Because it means we found freedom. But I believe God wants to give that opportunity because God may have led you here tonight needing freedom. You don't need to leave this service bound. Praise God. Jesus can set you free. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we long to be perfectly whole. We want you forever to live in our souls. Break down every barrier and cast out every foe. Wash us and we will be whiter than snow. They're your words, Lord Jesus. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. But if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And you know tonight you need more than just forgiveness. You've asked for that, but you need freedom. And God can give it to you if you ask Him to tonight. Let's sing the song together. And if as we sing, you know what God wants you to do, I invite you to just slip out of your seat and come to the front. Let's pray that God would do His work to the honor of the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. If you have been blessed by this message or other American Cassette Ministry cassettes, please take a moment just now and write to us. We'd love to hear how this ministry is helping you in your spiritual journey. International Copyright 1997, American Cassette Ministries. All rights reserved. For additional cassettes by this speaker, or for a free catalog, please contact us as follows. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 1-800-233-4450. Our 24-hour fax number is 717-652-9050. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. Our internet email address is info@americancassette.org. Our CompuServe email address is 74532-122. Visit our website on the internet at www.americancassette.org. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108. 0922 in the United States of America. Serving you faithfully for 22 years, we request your prayers and continued financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry, to prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.